How's everybody? All right, I'm going to go ahead and who are we missing? Let's see.
Danny's excused.
Okay, how about, okay, so Rory is the alternate. All right. All right, so give me your name again.
Chris.
So Chris Barnes, okay. And then
Shirley Dasher,
okay. All right, so we've got everybody else. We'll get with that. Let's go ahead and convene this meeting, and we will do a roll call. So why don't we start with you, Shirley.
Okay. Shirley Dasher, City Council, appointed citizen member.
I don't know. Did it work?
Now it's on.
Okay. Shirley Dasher, council-appointed citizen member.
Kristana Barnes, school board member, citizen appointee.
Good morning. Randy DeFore, city council chair.
Good morning. Charlotte Joyce, school board member.
And then who do we have to our far left?
Good morning. My name is William Jeter. I am the board attorney, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Jeter. Do y'all need to go ahead?
Sure. Heather Pellegrin, VAB operations manager.
Grace English, VAB staff. Paige Hicks, VAB staff.
All right. Good morning again. So we're going to call this meeting to order, and we've all introduced ourselves. We've discussed among ourselves who the board members are. I'm going to let you all kind of help us through this process because I'm not right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Or Bill, Mr. Jeter, I'm going to look to you to direct us in this process. This is the first I've actually looked at the agenda. Let's see. Appoint or ratify the private board legal counsel. So do we need to approve Mr. Jeter? Is that correct?
Yes.
So do I need a motion for that?
Sure.
Can I get a motion for that?
I move that we appoint William Jeter as the VAB attorney for 2021-22.
Can I get a second?
A second.
All right. Any discussion? All I have to say is, Mr. Jeter, I have heard wonderful things about you and what a great job you do. So. With that, we'll all vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, like sign. The ayes have it. All right. Congrats.
Madam Chair, it's customary that I sign a contract and that my compensation be set. I think the staff recommendation is that my compensation remain the same as last year I signed the contract in the form that we'll be talking about later, which is the same as last year, which is perfectly satisfactory to me if it's the pleasure of the board.
Thank you. I think that is certainly, let's have a discussion on that. If you're okay with that, it seems to me there's a cost of living increase, but if you're fine with your current salary and...
I am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Do we have to vote on that, or how does that work?
I would say yes.
Yeah. I feel like we have in the past.
Do we have a? Do we have a copy of the?
If you look on the third page of your agenda, it kind of breaks it down by each letter and gives a brief explanation of what we're going over.
All right. I see. Okay. Can I get a motion? For approval?
I move that we ratify Mr. Jeter's contract and keep his rate of pay at the same as the tax year 20 VAB role.
Can I get a second for that?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign? The ayes have it. All right. You're all set.
Thank you. I look forward to working with you.
Okay. Good to work with you. All right. Now, appoint or ratify special magistrates.
All right. So go to that third page again, and it's all that's below that. So
Madam Chair, may I
Yes.
mention something? Just
Absolutely.
For the record, going back to the first agenda item, I would like to just state for the record that there is a quorum present, given that there is a council member, a school board member, and at least one, in fact, there are two citizen members here. And also, I'd like to inform the chair that staff has informed me that this meeting was timely, duly, and legally noticed in all respects. And then, insofar as the introduction of the board, one of the things that, I should point out that the Department of Revenue has a series of things we must accomplish at this meeting, and then before the board can begin hearings, the board attorney has to certify to the clerk of the board that certain things were done. And if you beg my pardon, I'd like to go back to Agenda A, where everyone has been introduced, but one of the things that I'm supposed to do is verify that each of you is indeed qualified for this position, and I have done some investigations and determined to my satisfaction that everybody is, but for the record would like to simply poll the board, and the rule provides that no board member may represent other government entities or taxpayers in any administrative or judicial review of property taxes, and citizen members may not be employees of a taxing authority during their membership on the board. Does everyone feel that they comply with that?
Yes.
Okay, that's everyone answered affirmatively. The citizen member appointed by the city council must maintain a homestead in Duval County. And Ms. Dasher is the council-appointed member. I did go to the property appraiser's website and found that she resides, as she did last year, and at 1951 Leon Road, and the property appraiser indicates that she and her husband have claimed homestead exemption on that property. Ms. Dasher, is that correct? You do occupy a homestead here in Duval County?
Yes, sir.
And as to Ms. Barnes, as the school board appointed member, that member must own a business within the school district. I went to the Department of State and did a name search and determined that Ms. Barnes is a manager of an LLC, Barnes Candle Bar LLC. It is located within the school district in the San Marco area. And Ms. Barnes, are you in fact one of the owners of that business?
I am.
Okay. So everybody meets the legal requirements. And then as far as number B, letter B, for the record, one of the things we're supposed to do is provide the clerk and staff's contact information as part of your package. Attached to your agenda, you will see that there is a sheet which lists the board member contact information, which includes all of you and the other appointed board members. And then the next page is staff contact information. So, you know, for the record, this information is made available to the public, both here at this meeting. If any citizens were here, we have hard copies for them. And also, this information is posted to the VAB website. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, we did print from the website the first page of the VAB website, and we did also print various local forms that you may look at. So again, forgive me for interrupting, but I wanted just to go back and do that. And so we're now to D, the special magistrate appointments.
Thank you, Mr. Jeter. And if at any time you need to jump in, please, because I have not done this before, so I'm learning. If you would like to lead, if that's the way this is set up, that's fine.
Well, I would. I can assist you.
All right. Well, then. Okay. So, appointment of ratify special magistrates. How does...
I can give you some back, the board some background on that.
Okay.
By statute, if this county contains more than 75,000 residents, which, of course, we almost were within 6,000 of a million, according to the census results that came out. So obviously, we exceed 75,000. Then statute requires us to appoint special magistrates to hear petitions, to take evidence, and to provide recommended decisions to the board. In order to be a special magistrate on matters concerning exemptions and other legal matters, a special magistrate must be an attorney with 5 years' experience in taxation and must pass or take the Department of Revenue training for VABS. In order to hear value issues, a special magistrate must be a duly licensed property appraiser, private sector property appraiser, with at least 5 years' experience in taxation matters, and must complete the Department of Revenue's training. In order to be a tangible personal property special magistrate, the magistrate must be designated by a nationally recognized appraisal association, have at least 5 years in their field, and complete the DOR's training. With that in mind, we have 12 applicants for this year's special magistrates. Each one completed a written application to be a special magistrate, and staff and I have individually vetted each one of these applicants to make sure that they are currently and presently licensed. I pulled everybody's license from either the BPR in the case of the property appraisers, or the Florida Bar in the case of the attorneys, or from the Association of American Society of Appraisers for the TPP. So we have individually vetted each one. These are all veteran special magistrates. They've all worked for us in years past. Their writing samples and their habits have been acceptable and good, and so staff and I recommend that you hire these special magistrates. However, the Department of Revenue's 2021 training has not yet been released. I spoke to the DOR yesterday, and it may come out as soon as today, but the person I spoke to said he wanted the weekend to work on it. So it may come out next week. But so anyone you hire, including me and the special magistrates, their employment needs to be conditioned upon them completing the Department of Revenue's training before the commencement of the VAB hearing process. And so I recommend that you hire these special magistrates with that condition.
Very good. And I just was handed the list of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. You can make it. Let me before we do that. So, I personally like to, because I'm a lawyer, like to see their resumes. I mean, what's the timing if we postpone this? This, to me, I mean, I don't know how anybody else feels about it. Okay, yes, Ms. Joyce.
I have a question for Mr. Jeter. You may have already said this, but is there a limit or a number of magistrates that this board has, I mean, that we have to have?
Well, there's no legal requirement or limitation. As a practical matter, in order to handle, last year we had 230 hearings, so we need a certain threshold to be able to do that. But no, there's no, we have to have at least three one to hear value and one to hear legal matters and one to hear TPP. And the value matters would be subdivided between residential and commercial. If you just had one special magistrate, that would have to be a general special magistrate, because there's certain residential special property managers who can't hear commercial cases.
And how many applicants did we have?
Everyone on the list.
So we accepted every single person who applied.
We did. These are all people who've worked for the Value Adjustment Board here, and they work for other Value Adjustment Boards too, but they've worked for some years here. Some of them for over 30 years have been working here for the Value Adjustment Board.
Is there any magistrate on this list that is new, or are all of these returning magistrates from last year?
These are all returning magistrates.
We had a case last year that was overturned with, I can't remember the name of the case, but I know that it went back. We asked that the case, remember, it went back, and the magistrate, that company ended up paying property tax, you know, paying more taxes than what the magistrate recommended. And I would just like to make sure that, I mean, I would like to know the name of the magistrate that heard that case last year. The original case.
If there were a number of cases that were deferred and sent back, I'm not sure which one. I do want to mention that one of the things that the Department of Revenue rules say is that the board is not allowed to consider how many petitions a special magistrate overturns or confirms in the hiring process. You are allowed, of course, to have a say in who you hire, and certainly if somebody has done anything, either they are unqualified or they've done anything unprofessional, and I'll be glad to get you whatever information you say, but unless there's some, I mean, you just be aware that you cannot decline to hire someone just because they ruled in favor of or against the property appraiser. You may take into account if you feel they didn't perform their duties properly.
That's fine. I agree with Councilwoman DeFore. I would like to see the resumes, but I would also like to know that specific magistrate that we heard that case last. I'd like to know the name of that magistrate.
There was one, the one that occurs to me, whose name was Raymond Lewis, was a petitioner who we granted a new hearing before a new special magistrate. And that special magistrate, whose name was David Burbridge, who originally heard that, was not an applicant this year.
Okay.
So is not. Now, if there's another, Mr. Lewis is the one who comes to my mind because we sent it back for a new hearing. If there was another one that you're thinking about, certainly I'll be glad to research that. And just FYI, we have a file in which everybody's application is. I mean, we have that right now. I can go up to the office and get it for you if you would like, and show it to you. I also have here, which I can, if I may approach, I can give you my review of everybody's license. I have a copy of every single applicant's license, and also my chart that we follow in vetting these people. About may I approach and give you this, Madam Chair?
Absolutely. While you're doing that, Ms. Barnes, did you have something?
No, I think they sorted it out.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you.
Could we get the file with everybody's applications in it? We do take. I think you'll be glad that you look at these applications, because they're rather thorough. They follow the statute, and we do look at each and every one thoroughly to make sure everything is as it should be, even because it can change from year to year. And we do individually, as I hope you see from that, check every single applicant to make sure that their licensure is current. Each of these groups, the DBPR and the Florida Bar, have a place when you go to their website where you can click to see if there have been any complaints filed by citizens or consumers against them. None of these people have any complaints in the last 10 years against them. Records are completely devoid of any complaints.
Okay. I'm just going through. I just think it would have been helpful to have both the application and a resume, just because I think it's appropriate for us to know what we're voting on. Any other questions?
I will say not all of them submit their resumes. We only require an application. So
you have application. Okay.
Yeah. She went to grab the application. Some of them do submit their qualifications attached to it. So some will have it and some will not.
Okay. Well, let's table that and move forward until we can all see those applications.
Mr. Jeter.
Does anybody else feel differently about that, or?
I've been doing it so long, I trust Bill's judgment on. You're an attorney. I'm not.
Okay.
I was a school board member and a mom, so you know, I don't have the background of reviewing there. But that's kind of why I think you know.
Do you recall the name of the magistrate that?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I'm not even sure we ever know that. Really, we don't. We don't hear that at the meeting. What the name of the magistrate is. You can look it up. It's a listing in our packet that you could look it up by the number.
Well, you actually, there's a master list.
Right, that's what I mean.
That's presented to the board at each of the 5 monthly meetings beginning in January. And that list contains all the recommended decisions for the board's consideration.
Right.
If either a petitioner or the property appraiser asks that some of the one or more of the petitions be carved out, then we do a very detailed review, and the special magistrate's name is prominent in that.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, that's right. But we don't really talk about it.
Yeah, it's on the list. It's on our information page, right?
So just for clarification, you're saying, Mr. Jeter, that the magistrate that heard the case that I believe Ms. Joyce Morgan and myself wanted it to go back to a different magistrate, but the company settled or said that they did, you know, they would just...
I remember. It's the one about that build. They bought that hotel, and the whole conflict came about what was considered property inside the hotel, what was actually the value of the building and the land.
Right.
And the property appraiser disputed what the magistrate came up with.
Right. Wanted it to go to a new magistrate for a different hearing.
Okay.
Do you recall this case?
The one that I referred to is different. Mr. Lewis is not the petitioner to whom you are referring, and so Mr. Burbridge was not the special magistrate, and so I believe, and I don't recall who the special magistrate was for that, but they are still on the panel. Whoever that special magistrate is still on our panel.
They
bought the hotel out of Bay Meadows, I think it was.
Yeah, that does sound familiar. I don't know how we could go back and look. I'm just curious to know who the magistrate was.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly can get that information. I'm just unprepared to give it to you right now, but I can get it.
Okay.
Well, let me, just so I can summarize what I think I'm hearing, since I wasn't here last year. So what I think I'm hearing is that that particular magistrate may have not used appropriate evaluation of both versus personal property versus real estate. No? Okay, then what am I hearing?
Well, I think just, not to interrupt, but just to recap kind of what happened in that meeting, apparently between what the state will claim is, so if they submit something and the property appraiser's office accepts it as the sale of the property, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but I thought it was that they'd closed on the property, so their attorney's stance was that because the property appraiser accepted the sale price for the building, that should have been a done deal. Mm. And Mr. Hollins was, no, that's not. I have a right to reassess it even after the building has been sold. That the sale price does not impact what I can deem is the value of your building, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
Mr.
I remember
Jeter, do you recall that case?
Yes, I do, but I can't name the special magistrate. But what I would like to say is that we have, throughout the year, scenarios where either a petitioner or the property appraiser disagrees with the outcome of the recommended decision, with and says, well, I think it should have been done differently. That disagreement is presented to the board. What happens typically is let's say the property appraiser disagrees. The property appraiser would say, we ask the board to defer its acceptance of this recommended decision. When that happens, if the board agrees to do that, then I write a letter after the meeting to both the petitioner and the property appraiser asking that each respond with their arguments and citations of authority in support of their respective positions. I receive those two letters, and then I prepare a recommendation to the board and also kind of a record on appeal where we have the petition, the notices, the recommended decision, the two letters, my research, and then we present that to the board at the ensuing meeting. And then the board decides what to do. The law says that if the board finds that the recommended decision complies with the law, then the board must accept the hearing. If the board finds it doesn't comply with the law, then they can take certain steps.
My question then will be to Ms. Joyce is, did you feel that this magistrate inappropriately applied the law?
Well, I'm not going to go as far as, you know, saying that they did or they didn't. I just want to bring to the, I just want to know who the magistrate was that handled that case. And I know that the board overturned the recommendation from you, Mr. Jeter. I think Ms. Morgan and myself wanted it to go to a different magistrate for a different hearing. If I'm recalling correctly, again, this was a long time ago.
And I think did it not?
It did go back to a different magistrate, and the property owner ended up paying a lot more in taxes than originally.
Well, I think that's, yes, I can't argue with a lot more, but I know a compromise was reached.
Exactly.
The property appraiser reduced his original assessed value. The petitioner agreed to have a higher assessed value than the special magistrate had recommended. A compromise was reached before the second special magistrate hearing, and the petition was withdrawn.
Right. That is what I recall. And all I wanted to know was the name of the original magistrate that handled the case.
Through the chair, Ms. Pellegrin, have you?
I found the number. I don't know if I can log in down here. I'm going to try real quick.
Well, we're going to be passing the book applications around so people can see that, and we're going to find out who that magistrate was.
Thank you.
So we're going to table that until we can get the information and everyone can read the applications. With that, where should we go next?
E.
E. Would you like some background on that, Madam Chair?
Yes. Yes, please.
Once the TRIM notices, and TRIM is an acronym for Truth in Millage, it's sometimes called a Notice of Proposed Taxes, but every year the property appraiser mails those out to all 375,000 plus property owners in Duval County. That is by coincidence for 2021, the TRIM notices are being mailed today. That sets enforce a 25-day period during which the property owners may appeal to the Value Adjustment Board if they disagree with the information in the TRIM notices. Among other things, the TRIM notice contains the assessed value for each piece of property. So if a taxpayer disagrees with the value shown in the TRIM notice, they have 25 days this year from today within which to file a petition to the board. The board does not have the authority to extend that filing deadline. However, if a petitioner demonstrates good cause as defined by the statutes for filing late, and there's a list of them, typically it's best summarized by just saying if events beyond the control of the taxpayer, extraordinary events. I mean, for example, a couple of years ago, Hurricane Dorian came to town on the exact day of the deadline, and we had 304 late filed petitions that year, many of which attributed their late filed to Hurricane Dorian and the fact that the city hall was closed that day, on the deadline day. And so while the board cannot extend the filing deadline, if the board finds good cause for the late file, then the petitioner may be allowed to file. The rules permit the board to designate either a special magistrate or the VAB attorney to review those late filed petitions and make a ruling on whether good cause has been demonstrated. In years past, the board has designated me to review those. Now, just in passing, the way it works is, let's say somebody 40 days after the TRIM notice was mailed, therefore 15 days late, files a late filed petition. They attach to that late filed petition their statement of what they feel is the good cause warranting consideration of their petition. I review that, and then I either grant it, in which case a hearing is scheduled and you don't ever hear about it again, or I deny it. And of those I deny, some of those you never hear about again. But some people disagree with the denial that I have rendered, and they appear before the board, and they say, look, I filed late, and my late file was denied. I'm here to appeal to the board, and then the board can make a decision itself and either ratify my denial or they can overturn it and find good cause and grant a hearing. So in years past, the board designee to approve late filed petition has been me.
Okay. I was just going to get a motion, see if I can get a motion. I think that's probably the way we want to go. Can I get a motion to designate Mr. Jeter as our designated board designee to approve late filed petitions or deny them?
Give Elizabeth a chance. Sorry. She's just going to give some of us a chance.
Get someone else to do a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. The ayes have it.
The second category in subparagraph E, thank you. I'll look forward to that. The second category is once the clerk sends out notices of hearing. Well, I'm going to go back a little bit. Once a petitioner files with the Value Adjustment Board, one of the blanks that they can fill in on the petition is to list the days they are unavailable for a hearing. And so at the very beginning of the process, they can carve out certain days where they're not available. The VAB staff then tries mightily to schedule around their vacations or appointments or whatever. But once the staff schedules a hearing, they send out a notice of hearing at least and give at least 25 days notice to the petitioner. After that notice is sent, the rules say that either the property appraiser or the petitioner, or I mean either one of them, can move to reschedule the VAB hearing one time for good cause shown. And so the VAB is allowed to either appoint the VAB attorney or the VAB clerk to consider these good cause reschedule requests. Historically, the VAB has appointed the VAB clerk to hear those rescheduled good cause requests. And historically, I have worked with the clerk if they have any questions, but they're kind of on the scene. What happens is these rescheduled requests can occur moments before a hearing. I mean, I've been in an accident on my way to the hearing, you know, and I'm on my cell phone, and I'm not there. And so that's why I believe the VABs have felt the clerk is the person to do that. And they can call me if they have a question. But I recommend that the VAB again appoint the VAB clerk to hear and consider good cause reschedule requests.
All right. So who is the VAB clerk?
By statute, the VAB clerk is the secretary of the governing body of the county. So it's the city council secretary,
so Cheryl Brown.
Dr. Cheryl Brown.
Okay, wonderful.
And what she does is she has designated Heather Pellegrin as the VAB operations supervisor. And so together, VAB staff would consider these things with Dr. Brown or call me if needed.
All right. Can I have a motion for Dr. Brown and her designee to address the good cause reschedule requests?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, like sign. The ayes have it. All right.
Agenda item F. Mm-hmm. The statutes and the rules require at this meeting that VAB make available to the public and to special managers and to board members Rule Chapter 12D9 of the Florida Administrative Code. By way of background, Florida Statutes Chapter 194 is the statute which sets up the operating procedures for the Value Adjustment Board in blueprint form. The legislature designated the Florida Department of Revenue with rulemaking authority, and the Department of Revenue has after hearings, submitted three main rules to the governor and his cabinet, and they have been approved. And those rules are Rule Chapter 12D9, which is the nuts and bolts of VAB procedures, Rule 12D10, which defines requirements for recommended decisions, and Rule 12D16, which contains a list of VAB forms. And so all of these, we have copies of these particular rules here. 12D9 is the one that's under consideration right now. This is Rule 12D9, and we have also posted it to the website. And again, we provided you with a printout of all the items. If you were to go on the website and click on the menu items, it would take you to this page that you have that shows the what staff has posted. 12D9 and a variety of other reference materials are posted. So I don't think a vote is required on this. I think we just have to, for the record, have made Rule 12D9 available, and I represent the board that we have and are.
Very good.
Item G, may I proceed?
Please.
As I mentioned, Rule 12D10 simply defines the detail and bases upon which the recommended decision should be based. And again, that is posted to the website. And also, we have a hard copy here. There's no public here to receive it, but I represent to you that we have complied with that requirement.
All right, before we go forward, I just want to make sure everyone has a copy of that. I'm looking for mine.
Of 10?
Either 9 or 10.
What we've done, I don't know that...
It was just represented, a hard copy was presented to us, and I
don't know that each board member has one. What the rules require is that we have, do you have those up?
I have it on the table for the public, because we weren't required to.
May I?
Yeah.
May I walk over?
Yeah, sure.
And get that, thank you. Madam Chair, this is Rule Chapter 12B9, very detailed. I guess I should get on the 9 and 10.
Okay, this is what I want. I just was presented to me that we used to get a book with all this information. And
we did that years ago, and we found out that members were throwing them away and wanted everything electronically. So we quit doing paper as much as possible.
I'm a paper girl, so
okay,
I read it. If you can see, I think Ms. Joy's the same way. She read everything that I just handed her.
Madam Chair, I share that paper
dilemma.
Fetish, and I would be honored to assist
okay,
staff.
Great.
We'll put together a notebook which has tabs and which includes. Okay, got it.
I would appreciate that. I do take my role seriously, and I mean, I can't, as you know, as a lawyer, we can't, just because I'm sitting here as a city council person, I can't waive the requirements that my training, and I would like that, so.
Well, I'm glad that you would like that. Frankly, the personality of the chair, you know, changes each year. A couple of chairs back, I had a chair who forbade me to bring paper to his office. He said he wanted everything electronically, and he was joking, but he wasn't joking. And so, you know, we do try to accommodate, and we will accommodate you.
Thank you so much. All right.
If you're comfortable doing so, the staff has come up with the name of the special magistrate who originally heard that the case.
Yes, please.
His name is Austin Hollis, Jr. He is a veteran special magistrate and one. He's a general property appraiser, so he can hear both commercial and residential cases. And he is just an excellent special magistrate. In that particular case, the property appraiser disagreed with his reasoning, but I don't think there was any claim of impropriety. There was just a disagreement. As to what, as I recall, and I think some of you may have a better recollection than I, but as I recall, the property in question had sold reasonably close to January 1 for a certain price. And the special magistrate said that the sale of the property in the marketplace, in the open market, represented the best index of its value and based his assessment on that. The property appraiser disagreed and said, I believe that the sale did not represent arm's length fair market, and that another approach, whether it was income or comparable sales, was more appropriate. And after discussion, the board said, well, this is a heated argument, and we think the best way to handle this would be to send it back to another special magistrate to decide who's, you know, with a new hearing. But before that hearing, the parties reached compromise.
Okay.
But I don't think there was ever, there was disagreement with Mr. Hollis, but I don't think there was any allegation that he did anything wrong. But
Yes, Ms. Barnes.
The way I agree with what Mr. Jeter's recalling, they were questioning, Mr. Holland was questioning their formulation of what actually was tangible property in the building and what was, you know, mm-hmm. the value of the building. And as I recall, the property owner's attorney was saying that the state allowed, said in all the whatever, that that sale was the value of the building. That's where they got the big disagreement.
I believe that's the one y'all are talking about.
Okay, let me read it.
That's just a summary from the meeting that was held in January when a deferral was asked for.
So let me make sure. So was the argument by Mr. Holland that the personal property should have been taken into consideration for the value of the real estate?
No, I don't recall precisely, but I think the three operative approaches would be the cost approach, the comparable sales approach, mm-hmm. And an income capitalization approach. And I think the special magistrate...
It was a hotel, is that right?
Right.
And so it wasn't a leasing... I mean... Okay, go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm just thinking, typically in a hotel you wouldn't do the... necessarily... But go ahead.
Well, I just think there was just a difference of opinion. The petitioner said, look, we bought this property, we declared a value, we paid revenue stamps on the purchase, the state accepted it, there's been no audit, this was an arm's length purchase, and what we paid for this property is the best representative of value.
Right, on the free
special
market.
Magistrate accepted that argument. The property appraiser said he was incorrect in doing so and should have, because among other things, there were a lot of redacted.
Everything was redacted.
Right.
Which is allowed.
Contract.
I mean, you're allowed to do that, but the property appraiser said that it was, it did not represent what he thought was the appropriate approach. The special magistrate accepted the petitioner's assertion of value. The property appraiser said he should not have. The board, having heard argument, decided to send it back to another special magistrate to get a different take on it. And before that hearing, it settled.
And I guess my question is, and you may not recall, what was the basis of Mr. Holland's value? If he didn't take the fair market value, which is what was presented as the purchase price, how did he assess a value?
Through the chair,
do you remember,
Ms. Barnes?
Well, I vividly recall, and you may not, Ms. Anderson, but I vividly recall him saying that because the contract was so redacted, he said you were able to just determine with the party you were buying from, you could change those numbers and have it be whatever you wanted it to reflect, that he didn't feel like they had put more into the tangible property than he felt they should have, that it shouldn't have been valued that high, that the land, the building and the land itself should have been higher.
Yes.
And he felt it wasn't right to accept that as the free market when he felt they had too much control in setting the sales price. That's how I remember it.
I guess I'm a little concerned because when I look at the minutes, it just says that Mr. Holland spoke and made comments. I guess moving forward, if we had a situation that was being contested like that, that I would like in the minutes to reflect at least the position that Mr. Holland presented to the board as to why it should go back to a different magistrate.
Yeah, and an analysis of what, I mean, you can't, the property appraiser has to give a basis upon which to make a value. He can't just pull it out of a hat. I mean, he has to give an analysis of why he thinks it's an it's a different value than the purchase price value.
Right.
And I would have liked to have heard that just based on today's analysis. But having said that,
May I point out to you that there is probably a 50-page summary of the respective arguments of the this paragraph is showing is at the original hearing that the recommendation was submitted for board approval, the property appraiser said, look, this doesn't comply with the law, and we need it needs to be deferred. And the board voted to defer it. When that happened, I wrote a letter to both the petitioner and to the property appraiser, asked each to state the basis of their argument and the legal authorities. I put together a package, literally 50 pages long, and presented it to the board at the next meeting. And it was at that meeting, I believe, that it was remanded for rehearing to another property appraiser. And it has nauseous detail in terms of what position everybody took, and these minutes simply summarize. I mean, you're not supposed to hold a hearing at these meetings. You're supposed to make a facial determination of whether or not it warrants being deferred, or whether you're going to accept it. And so But
let me ask you this. Let me interrupt you if I could. I'm going to pass this on to you, Ms. Prosser. Sorry. Now, again, if you do an appraisal, there's usually three bases upon which to do appraisal. You know, the market analysis, the replacement costs, right? And you said the income. So tell me what the property appraiser, what basis upon which can he determine the value of a property? I think let's go back to 101. That will help me. If the property appraiser refutes a value and he provides a new value, doesn't he have to give you a basis upon which he could?
Absolutely. Under the statute, section 194.301, the property appraiser enters the VAB hearing and is required to establish a presumption of correctness for his assessment. And to do that, he must show by a preponderance of evidence that he considered all eight factors in section 193.011, which lists income, value, location, highest and best use, a variety of factors that the property appraiser must show that he adequately considered those factors, and he must show by a preponderance of the evidence that he applied an appropriate appraisal methodology. And so that all happens at the special magistrate hearing. If he establishes a presumption of correctness, then the petitioner has the burden of proof to show by a preponderance of the evidence that the assessment is not representative of just value, or that it's arbitrary, the property appraiser is arbitrarily appraised the property differently than he appraises similar property elsewhere in the county. And then based on that, if the property appraiser doesn't establish a presumption of correctness, then the statute says that the special magistrate must determine if there's evidence in the record from which the special magistrate can establish a value. If there is, he's required to do so. If there's not, he's required to remand it to the property appraiser with instructions. This is how every single special magistrate hearing works. At the end of that, the special magistrate is required to prepare a recommended decision to the board. that recommended decision must contain specific findings of fact and conclusions of law and reasons why the special magistrate is recommending the way he does. Dozens of these recommendations will be presented to the board at every one of its five meetings. Almost all of these will simply be accepted by a vote of the board because no one is opposing the recommendation. In this particular case, the property appraiser asked the board to defer its acceptance of the recommendation, and then the process I just told you about where I write everybody letters is implemented. And then at the ensuing meeting, the board tries to decide whether the recommended decision complies with the law or does not, and has before it everything, it has a recommendation, the petition, both parties' arguments, my research and recommendations.
Okay, that's helpful to me, not having done this before. And in that case, what would you recall, where you landed in terms of the recommendation for the...
I'm not sure, but I believe I thought the special magistrate's recommendation was acceptable. I think the board disagreed, and the board decided it was best to remand it to another special magistrate and see what they said.
And that didn't happen because they settled.
Correct. Now, okay. I should mention, Madam Chair, there is a DOR video that we're going to show in a minute that actually covers a lot of this stuff. It takes just a few minutes, and it may crystallize a lot of this for
you. Okay. Would you like to watch that now before we go to the next item?
I recommend that, Matt.
Okay, let's do that then.
The Value Adjustment Board, an overview of the board's and other participants' duties and responsibilities.
The Department of Revenue appreciates your public service and commitment to serving your local Value Adjustment Board. Florida VAB members, attorneys, clerks, special magistrates, and other interested parties play an integral role in the Florida property tax system. This training is provided to help familiarize you with the most important aspects of your duties. Topics covered in this presentation include the content of the Policies and Procedures Manual, training materials and forms, communications and guidance on specific issues, and the department's role in providing aid and assistance to you. We hope you find this training to be a helpful resource for performing your duties. The property tax appeal system depends on dedicated participants like you to provide parties with fair and lawful hearings. Your important roles help to ensure that Florida's property tax system is fair. Thank you again for serving your local community and the state of Florida.
The contents of this course include overview of property tax in Florida, the Value Adjustment Board, the role of the board clerk, the role of the board attorney, the role of the special magistrates, parties before the Value Adjustment Board, the Department of Revenue's role, and resources. Before reviewing the Value Adjustment Board's duties and responsibilities, it is important to understand the basics of Florida's property tax system. This brief overview will highlight some of the most important aspects of Florida's property taxes. County property appraisers establish a property's just value on January 1st of each year. The taxable value of all property in a county makes up the property tax base. Florida has more than 640 taxing authorities that levy a property tax. These include cities, counties, school boards, and special districts such as water management districts. Each year, local taxing authorities set a millage or tax rate that they levy on a property's taxable value. The millage rate, multiplied by the taxable value, is the tax levied on each property. In August, the property appraiser sends each property owner a notice of proposed property taxes, or truth in millage or trim notice. This notice contains the property's value on January 1st, including any exemptions. It provides the millage rate each taxing authority has proposed and an estimated amount of taxes the property owner owes based on those millage rates. Each county has a 5-member value adjustment board, which hears and rules on challenges to a property's assessment, classification, exemption, or denied tax deferrals. The value adjustment board is independent from the property appraiser and tax collector. County tax collectors send annual tax bills to the property owners in late October or early November. Full payment is due by the following March 31st. Discounts up to 4% apply to early payments. Petitioners to the Value Adjustment Board must make the partial payment required under Section 194.014 Florida statutes by March 31st. Under the statute, failure to make the required partial payment to the county tax collector before the date of delinquency will result in denial of the petition. The tax collector distributes property taxes to the local taxing authorities. Property taxes in Florida fund public education and local government. The Department of Revenue has general supervision of the assessment and valuation of property so that all property will appear on the tax rolls at just value. The department also has supervision over tax collection and other aspects of the administration of taxes. The department's supervision consists primarily of aiding and assisting county officers in their assessing and collection functions. The department provides education, training, technical assistance, and consultation to local officials who are responsible for administering property taxes. Property taxes are levied, collected, and administered at the local level. The board's purpose is to provide a low-cost, less formal appeal process for taxpayers to challenge property assessments and other property tax issues without the expense and complication of going to circuit court. The board is a quasi-judicial body and a neutral party with the responsibility to ensure fair and lawful hearings. The board reviews taxpayers' petitions that appeal the property appraiser's or tax collector's assessment, exemption, portability, classification, and tax deferral decisions. The board does not review or provide decisions based on the amount of taxes the taxpayer owes. The members of the board clerk, the board attorney, and special magistrates must maintain independence from the property appraiser, tax collector, and petitioners. They must avoid conflicts of interest or the appearance of conflicts of interest at all times. Remember, all the board's meetings are public meetings and must comply with Florida's Sunshine Law. All hearings the board or special magistrates hold must be open to the public. Members of the board must comply with the requirements of the Florida Ethics Law. A number of individuals assist the board in carrying out its duties, including the board clerk, the board attorney, and special magistrates. The clerk of the Value Adjustment Board has many responsibilities and is vital to the board's operation. The clerk is responsible for the board's day-to-day administrative responsibilities. The clerk arranges the board's organizational meeting, which it must hold before hearings start. The department provides a checklist as a job aid to assist the clerk in preparing for this meeting. The clerk receives and processes petitions and additional documents parties file. The clerk provides all notices the board sends to the parties, including notices of scheduled hearings. The clerk is responsible for scheduling all hearings and ensuring that proper hearing facilities are available. The clerk ensures public notice of and access to hearings. The clerk provides signs and appropriate directions to the hearing facilities. The clerk provides timely notices of recommended and final decisions to all parties. The clerk is responsible for making the official record of all proceedings, including maintaining verbatim records of all hearings. The board's attorney also plays an important role and provides many services to the Value Adjustment Board members. The board attorney provides legal counsel to the board and board clerk on all aspects of the Value Adjustment Board process to ensure all actions comply with Florida law. The department has developed a job aid called the Value Adjustment Board Checklist Pre-Hearing to assist board attorneys with these responsibilities. The board attorney also reviews and responds to written complaints that allege noncompliance with the law by the board, special magistrates, board clerk, and the parties. The board attorney is responsible for advising the board on the board's composition and quorum requirements for meetings, statutory training requirements for special magistrates and board members, qualifications of special magistrates, legal requirements for notices, hearings, special magistrate recommended decisions, and board decisions, open government laws and ethics requirements, and any other duties, responsibilities, actions, or requirements necessary to comply with Florida law. Remember, the board attorney must attend every meeting of the board. The board attorney is your best resource for ensuring compliance with the law. The board appoints special magistrates to hold hearings and issue recommended decisions to the board. Counties with populations of more than 75,000 must use special magistrates. Smaller counties may choose to use special magistrates. Special magistrates must meet the qualification requirements in Florida law, complete the department's online training before holding hearings, hold hearings that comply with Florida law, and avoid conflicts of interest or the appearance of conflicts of interest. The two opposing parties who appear before a board are the taxpayer or his or her representative and either the property appraiser or the tax collector. The board is responsible for making sure that both parties receive due process and a fair hearing that complies with Florida law. The Department of Revenue provides general oversight of the boards, assists board attorneys with understanding the requirements in Florida statutes and the Florida Administrative Code, develops a uniform policies and procedures manual, produces and prescribes forms, and offers annual training. This presentation includes general information. Specific information about additional duties and responsibilities of the Value Adjustment Board, the board clerk, the board attorney, and special magistrates is available in the statutes, the rules, and the department's policies and procedures manual, website, and communications. Consult your board attorney. He or she is your best resource for making sure you comply with the requirements of Florida law while performing your duties.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Jeter, I'm consulting you. What's next?
I'm not sure where we are on the agenda, Madam Chair. Are we considering the special magistrates again, or are we on?
Well, has everyone had an opportunity to review them?
Yes.
Okay. And let me just. I didn't get a chance to look at the one.
Okay.
Questionable.
Yeah, that's who I looked at.
So if you'll give me a moment. Actually, why don't we take a 5-minute break? If that's okay. And then. Because
yes,
I want to get more information.
No, just for the record, citizen member Barnes may have to leave.
Okay.
And we will still have a quorum if she does.
Yeah,
and she's the veteran.
The very latest is 10:40. I have to work for my son. He has to stay home today with his son.
Okay, well, let me ask you this before we take a 5-minute break. Let's. What else do we have to vote on? It looks like adoption of the $15 fee. Is there anything else we have to vote on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on yes, agenda? Ma'am. There are a few things. I don't foresee any controversy. I call most of them are kind of housekeeping. The only thing that I think the most important thing is the selection of the special magistrates.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to take a 5-minute break.
Yeah, we have time to do that before.
Yeah, we will. We'll do that at one.
Yep.
Okay.
All I need to know at the end of the day is what they want to know.
Okay, all right. We'll, after we get back, I promise you.
We've got some upstairs.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm fine.
That's an important thing. And we never know how long this meeting's going to go.
Right.
It's on the section between LaSalle and Landon.
Okay.
And it's a little four store. So we have our own parking lot.
Yes.
Because it's our four. But, so it's kind of easy, you know, Thanks, Peggy, over there. So it takes 90 minutes after you make your candle to set up.
Right.
It's
one of those things.
You should come back later that day.
I admire you for
it. Yeah, you blend your own.
I am not a river sand.
So I'm going to make sense now.
And I'm glad you did, because when I was first asked to join it, I met with Mr. Jeter this Sunday. Like, I told him, I don't want to make decisions about people's lives.
We tell you not to think about, oh, I want to make a floral candle, or oh, I want to make an outdoors candle. You know, don't think about what you want to make. Just smell some shit you like. And write it down, and then when you come sit at the bar, the scent tender helps you. Like pair two or three other scents together to create your own scent. And so, like, if the two of you sat down and you each picked the same,
put all these things out in the air. I think it is. I welcome it.
Because you would probably put different ratios of the oils in, and you only have to use half an ounce of oil. But it's fun, and you can't take it off wet. The reason people don't understand that.
I'm going to try it.
This is my step-up exercise, just so we all know. I didn't get to go to the Y this morning, so all good.
So you can do that. You're doing great. Well, you'll be running this afternoon, won't you? I have a 10-month-old friend.
Well, today I'm working at the store, so I'll be on my feet all day.
I turned it off and now it does not want to turn back
on.
Yours
did.
I think Heather controls it. I think Heather has the master control.
Did you turn them off?
No.
We actually are blinking red light.
Oh.
Maybe the batteries.
Yeah. All right, great. Very good. Okay, we're going to reconvene and get back on the record. So, Mr. Jeter, I think we've all now had an opportunity to review the applications of the magistrates. If I could get a motion for approval of the list of 12 magistrates. By name, there's Pamela Andrea, Lee Carlin, Reginald Carter, Bud, okay, John Fox, Austin Hollis, Caleb Hollis, Kyle Kruger, John Marino, Hank Ullen, Jonathan Smith, and Mel Ward. If I could have a motion for approval.
I move we accept the 2021 Value Adjustment Board Special Magistrates list that was just read.
Is there a second? Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. It passes.
Madam Chair, may I just say that we will require all of these applicants to show proof that they have taken the VAB training as soon as it is issued and before any hearings commence, that which is a legal requirement of their service. And you may want to next take up the question of compensation for the last 2 years. This would be the third year if you adopt staff recommendations. The special magistrates are paid $110 per hour.
He's referring to page 3 of our agenda. Can I have a motion for approval for the compensation amount for in the staff recommendation for the special magistrates?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. It passes. It passed.
Excellent.
Okay, and where do we get from here?
I think we're at agenda item I.
Okay.
What this concerns is there are a variety of DOR forms which are prescribed for use in the VAB process. Each local VAB is entitled to have local forms so long as they do not contradict or interfere with the DOR forms and address administrative matters. And we present to you a collection of proposed local forms that we, the staff, and I feel the board should adopt. I can quickly go through them, and then you may adopt them en masse, or you may carve out some about which you would like to ask questions, if that seems like a good approach.
Let's identify the forms. I'm
yes, ma'am.
Hopeful that they're in front of us.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. You have them. The first form, there was a DOR calendar on the top, but the first form that's a local form is the 2021 Special Magistrate Application. This is a blank form. You have actually seen the filled-in forms. It's the identical form in all in the notebook that you reviewed.
Okay.
The next form is the 2021 Professional Services Agreement for Special Magistrates, and that sets forth the requirements and duties of each special magistrate and what the board will do. The next form provides the public different hearing options this year. We're still in sort of the COVID twilight zone, I guess. Last year, all hearings before special magistrates were conducted telephonically. The special magistrate came to the VAB office, and then staff dialed up the petitioner and then dialed up the property appraiser, or vice versa. In other words, got everybody on the phone. The special magistrate started the recorder, and the hearing was held telephonically. This year, we will continue to offer telephonic hearings. However, as you can see in number two, there's also a will not appear option. The petitioner has the right, by checking a box in the VAB petition or by contacting staff afterwards, and say, look, I'm going to present my evidence, but I'm not going to participate in the hearing. That's called a will not appear. And so the special magistrate just considers the evidence, and the property appraiser puts on his testimony. The third option would be that each petitioner has the right to appear at the VAB offices in person, just like old times, and have a hearing. Through the chair to Ms. Pellegrin, how will this form be distributed?
This will go out on the front counter for when people that walk in to file, and we will insert it as an attachment with their receipt if they file online.
Okay, so each petitioner gets a copy of this with their receipt for the petition. Also, there's just a general Duval County Value Adjustment Board statement. This also goes at the same time to each petitioner. It just gives information about bringing a certain number of copies of evidence. The next form is a procedure script for the special magistrate hearing. This script is to be sure that our special magistrates properly open the hearing and place on the record necessary information so that a correct record is made, and also the clerk is required to keep these records for at least 4 years, and actually keeps them much longer than that, but also so that the staff can find these hearings by going to the record. So this script walks the special magistrate through the procedures for properly conducting a hearing, and these were all taken, all the steps were taken from the 12D9 rules that we went over earlier. The next item is just sort of a reference sheet for the special magistrates. We just put this at their desk. One side contains Florida Statute Sections 194.3011, and the other side contains, and Section 193.011. These are the two operative statutes that the property appraiser, special magistrate, and VAB and petitioners must follow. And then there's a little sort of a worksheet on the reverse side for the special magistrate to take notes as to what evidence was presented with regard to each one of the 193.011 factors. The next form, a stipulation for continuance hearing, should Browns present for a continuance, the staff can either contact everybody after the continuance and everybody's left and try and put together a time that's convenient for everyone and send out notices, or, and this is what we encourage, we have everybody, if there is a continuance, stipulate to a future date. And so staff is contacted and said, okay, what dates is this special magistrate going to be available? We fill that out, and everybody signs it, and that sort of eliminates the need for staff doing this after the fact. The next form, the what now form, either the special magistrate or staff gives this to everyone at the end of a hearing so that they have some idea about where the process goes after the hearing and how long it takes to get there. The next form is the Value Adjustment Board invoice that staff requires the special magistrates to submit each month, and it's a fillable form that they receive either on a disk or they or it gets emailed to them, but every month they submit detailed statements of what they did, how much time they spent doing it, and how much money they are owed for it. The next form is a letter that FAB staff will mail on March 10, 2022 to any petitioners who still have petitions pending before the board, but who the tax collector informs staff has not yet paid their taxes. And what that letter does is it reminds the petitioners that Florida Statute Section 194.014 requires VAB to dismiss the petition of anybody who has not timely paid at least 75% of their taxes, and the non-ad valorem, which in our case is the solid waste removal and stormwater runoff fees. So you can't use a VAB petition to avoid paying taxes. You have to at least pay the amount, at least 75%, if your petition hasn't been resolved. And every year, on April 20th, VAB is required to dismiss all the pending petitions if taxes haven't been paid. And there's frequently a lot of angst on the part of the board about dismissing petitions. And so we try to do everything we can to alert the petitioners and get them to pay their taxes. Last year there was only one petition that got dismissed, and that was someone who had been unsuccessful at the hearing and knew it because he'd received a recommendation. And so we presume that he just, you know, wasn't concerned about whether his petition got dismissed or not because he'd already lost before the special magistrate. The next form is our remarks that I make at the beginning of every VAB meeting after today. And it is when we reconvene again in January, if that's when we next convene, what I do is read this to enable those in attendance to understand what the VAB is there for, what we'll be doing, and what we won't be doing. The last form on the local form agenda is the speaker's request card. Actually, this is on a card, and the top half is printed on the front of the card, the back half on the lower half on the reverse side of the card. And anyone who wishes to make remarks before the board is requested to fill this out, and is given 3 minutes to speak. And then the rules for public comment are on the reverse.
Very good. Let me ask you a question. The script for the special magistrate hearing, I think there was a piece of paper that they worked with as well. I had it, now I've lost it. Does this board see?
Yeah.
Okay, it was a script, but there was something where he or she would go through analysis of the value.
Oh, it was that symbol that's front.
Does this board see that?
Does this board, I beg your pardon, does the board see?
Yeah, yes, thank you.
Oh, the works,
it's on the back of
Special Magistrate.
No, that's kind of a worksheet for the benefit of the Special Magistrate. Frankly, they don't even have to use it if they take their own notes. But my charge is to make sure that the Special Magistrate have the tools at their disposal, such as statutory language, to assist them in their task. And I created that thinking that it was a good tool for their use. What you'll see is the recommended decision that results from the hearing and results from the notes taken by the Special Magistrate. And you'll only see that if somebody objects to it. Again, most of the 95% or 99% of the recommendations you never see because you accept them en masse because no one has complained about them.
Okay. And just one more question on that, and then, but isn't it a public record so that if somebody wanted to see a copy of it, yes, they could?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to, which would have been helpful, I think, in the scenario that we were discussing earlier today. But
absolutely, all of this is available. Part of the contract and part of the statute requirements for the Special Magistrate is that they maintain a verbatim record of the hearing and that all their notes are public records and they must turn everything in no later than when they complete their recommendations. And so staff has all of that and it's available for anybody to look at, including the board, of course.
Very good. Any questions of Mr. Jeter with regards to these forms? All right, can I have a motion for approval of the forms?
I'm going to make a motion for the approval of the forms.
Second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. It passes. And before we lose Ms. Barnes, is there anything that quickly we can...
$15 filing fee.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and if we could move to second page of the agenda, item L, ratification of... the filing fee of $15. Can I get a motion for that?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay? The ayes have it. All right. Thank you.
And before you leave, are you available for monthly like last year?
Yeah, we'll just have to just tell me what and then I'll adjust the babysitting around it.
That's a good problem to have. I look forward to having that problem.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Jeter. Bye. Sorry, I have to leave. Really rather stay than go work.
All right. Well, if we'll move on to item number, letter number J.
Yes, ma'am. This is where I am supposed to give a general overview of the process and general information to the board. And, of course, I believe that a big start on that mission was accomplished already by the DOR. So I'll try not to duplicate that. I'd like to always begin these remarks by proposing that your service on the Value Adjustment Board may be one of the most important things you do as a public volunteer or a public official. And that's kind of a hard sell because I think a lot of people who serve on the Value Adjustment Board don't appreciate its importance. But I submit to you that for John Q. and Jane Q. Public, this is probably the most effective way to make a difference in your relationship with government of any other board or commission. I mean, you can appear before the school board and you can appear before the city council and speak your piece, and often that's persuasive, I'm sure. But in the case of the Value Adjustment Board, you can actually receive an adjustment in the assessed value of your property that can save you thousands of dollars in your taxes. Now, it's been my experience over these last 30 years that really more people than you think don't mind paying taxes. They get it. They feel like, you know, taxes form an important component of what government does. They just want to pay their fair share. And that's what VAB is supposed to do, is to ensure that the assessment they have and therefore the fair share of taxes they pay is in fact fair. There are over 375,000 parcels of property in Duval County. Together, the value of that property exceeds $115 billion for 2020. I haven't even seen 2021's numbers yet. And the property tax, which is levied and collected on that property, provides 55% of the city's budget and about 30% of the school board's budget. And so it's big numbers, it's important numbers, and every property owner pays a share of that. But for what VAB is supposed to do is make sure that each property owner's share is its fair share. And if someone's property is assessed at $25,000 more than it should be, that can be $400 or $500 in extra taxes out of that person's property. And that's where we come in. And our property appraiser has an extremely tough job. Every year he's got to assess 375,000 parcels of property. Every 5 years, he's got to personally visit every single one of those properties. And in a job of this scope, it's just inevitable that the property appraiser is going to make some mistakes. And this is not me saying this. I'm going to read from the 2020 Value Adjustment Board training. The Florida Department of Revenue says, quote, "It is implicit in mass appraisal that even when properly specified and calibrated mass appraisal models are used, some individual value conclusions will not meet standards of reasonableness, consistency, and accuracy. Frankly, some of the assessments might be too low. We probably won't hear from those people."
Yeah.
Although we occasionally do have a few people who want to increase their assessment for personal reasons. We have every once in a while somebody comes in and they're just insulted that their property is assessed so low. They're willing to pay the taxes. Others are trying to create an increased value so that they can take advantage of the portability provisions, which enable them to take those benefits with them to a new house down the road. But most of the time we're going to hear from people who argue that their assessment is too high. And just the statistical errors for $375,000 assessments state that there are going to be some errors. FAB was created by the Constitution and by statute. It is an independent body. A lot of people think FAB is a city council committee. It is not. It is an independent agency set up by statute. Council and school board, as the largest taxing entities, play a large role in it because you are the members of the board plus two citizens. And also the council and the school board pay the budget for the VAB to the extent we don't collect enough filing fees each year to cover that budget, and we don't. The VAB budget is paid by the school board 2/5 and by the city council 3/5. But VAB is not city council. VAB is not the school board. The property appraiser is simply a party. He's like the district attorney. I mean, if you're a judge, you like the district attorney, you respect him, you may go to parties with him, but when he appears before you in court, he stands on the same footing as a defendant who's a citizen, and the judge has to do his duty to make sure the prosecutor proves guilt beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. The VAB has to make sure it does its duty to be sure that the property appraiser carries his burden and that the petitioner carries their burden, and they stand equally before the VAB. Some quick statistics. In both 2019 and 2020, VAB received nearly 3,000 petitions. Last year, VAB received 2,996, to be precise. Most of those settle, but given this surge in value, I mean, we're in some sort of crazy real estate market, it isn't going to surprise me if we have lots of petitions this year, because I suspect there's going to be some increased assessed values because of all this. So we may have more petitions than 3,000 this year. Since most of the petitions are either settled before hearing or are withdrawn, we have few hearings comparatively. Last year we had 230 hearings before special magistrates. Those are the ones for which recommended decisions are prepared and which will ultimately come before you. In smaller counties, the VAB itself hears and directly rules on taxpayer petitions. For example, in Dixie County or Levy County, they may only have three or four petitions. And in that case, the VAB just sits as a panel and hears those cases. And counties, as you heard on the video, with more than 75,000 population, you must appoint special magistrates. They make recommendations to you, and if those recommendations comply with the law, you must accept them. If they don't comply with the law, you have discretion to either send it back to the same special magistrate to make some corrections yourself or send it back to a different special magistrate. The only legitimate challenge that the property appraiser or a petitioner can make to a recommended decision is that it does not comply with the law. Sometimes a party just disagrees with the special magistrate's decision. The special magistrate has ruled on the facts and has made a decision that complies with the law, but the petitioner or the property appraiser doesn't like it. Just not liking the outcome is not sufficient grounds for you to refuse the petition. Legally we call it they're seeking a second bite at the apple, and if you determine that somebody just doesn't like what the property appraiser ruled, even if you would have done it differently yourself, so long as the special magistrate has given you a recommendation that complies with the law says you must accept it. The board would typically not second guess a special magistrate on findings of fact. If there's evidence in the record that would support a finding of fact, then that should stand. It's only questions of law that you're normally going to be looking at. You have to be very careful. I'm going to just sort of wrap up my remarks quickly. I know everybody has things to do, but I just would like to mention, though, that it's very difficult sometimes to separate yourself from either the problems of your constituency or your friendship with the property appraiser or the tax collector, but it is just imperative that you do this as you sit on this board. If one of your constituents contacts you, or if a friend of a citizen contacts them, you have to say, I'm sorry, but I am sitting on the Value Adjustment Board, and if I hear your statements about this, I might have to recuse myself. Therefore, here is our attorney's number, or here is the VAB staff's number. Please call them. Okay? There is a couple of things. If you are an inquiring mind and want to see more information, the property appraiser has on his website just a data-filled booklet about how this process works and where the money goes and how many, and just a, it's a wonderful resource about the breakdown of the county's taxes, if you're interested in that. Also, I've been, I have been talking about the VAB training. Everybody, myself included, and all the special magistrates have to complete the Department of Revenue VAB training. I'm expecting that at any time. This is the 2020 VAB training, which I printed up. It exceeds 250 pages. It has 16 modules, and it has in it very detailed, very informative accounts of how every single part of this system should work. Madam Chair, it used to be, and I think it still is because I'm planning to avail myself of it this year, if you complete this course and take a test and pass the test, you receive 20 hours of CLE credit. Wow. And I'm
sign me up.
I'm scrambling to get my CLE done by November.
Okay.
And, so this 20 hours would be a nice shot in the arm. And also, it's I recommend it to you. It's, you know, as someone who clearly wants to know more about VAB, this is the go-to resource.
Can you sign me up for that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
anybody else want to be signed up for that?
I think I attended the training last year. It was via Zoom.
Is that? That was something different. This is, the DOR does this every single year. The one that you attended, I believe, was
the requested ad hoc training.
That was something completely different. But I can email you guys the link.
Okay.
And then you'll just have to create your own little username and log in.
Yeah. How many hours does it take to do it?
To go through this?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you make your
16
own
16 modules.
You make your own pace. You know, you go to the DOR website and
20 hours is that
training, and you can just scroll through it. If you're a Evelyn Wood speed reading graduate, you would do it much more quickly than I. I'm a bit of a plotter, but 20
I'm
hours.
By that.
It's 20 hours is a you could do it in 20 hours easily, and or less, and receive 20 hours of CLE credit. But you have to pass the test, mm-hmm. which I've been able to. I'm sure that you would be able to.
Well, thank you very much. That was very comprehensive. Does that move us now to agenda item
K?
K?
Yes.
Did we all? The uniform and procedure manual may have already been.
The DOR has promulgated or published a uniform policies and procedures manual for value adjustment boards. And what that is, and it is on our website, what it is a compendium of all the statutes we've been talking about. The Title 14 of the Florida statutes is the tax title, and it would be chapters 192, 193, 194, 195, 196, mm-hmm. And then also Rule 12D9, 12D10, and 12D16 and forms. So that's what that is. It's everything in one manual. We, as stated before, we're going to make a notebook for everybody this year. We'll provide you that. But there's also this policies and procedures, and we have that available on our website and for the public. So I believe we've complied with agenda item K.
Okay, we have already addressed agenda item L, so that moves us to agenda item M, the next scheduled, or our tentative schedule for 2021. Did y'all want to present that, or?
On page 4, item M is for the actual VAB hearings where the petitioners and property appraisers will attend the hearings upstairs in Suite 305, and that's listed. The dates are already listed.
Right, okay. That's on page 4.
If I may mention, and there's a statute in here, the statute requires that hearings commence no sooner than 30 days and no later than 60 days after the mailing of the trim notices, which were mailed today. And so staff very carefully schedules the beginning of the hearings to fall within that window. And so we will commence in a timely fashion, and then the hearings just continue until completed. We're required by statute to complete the VAB year for 2021 no later than June 1st, 2022, unless we receive more than 110% of last year's petitions. So if we had 3,000 last year, if we get more than 3,300 petitions this year, then we have until December 1st to wrap up the year. Mm. But even if we do get more, I think staff is going to try to stick to the June 1 deadline.
Okay. All right, and that moves us to agenda item number N. And that's our meetings.
Yes.
Okay, where's that?
That is also on page 4. Oh, sorry. Page 5 of the agenda at the bottom.
Okay. Oh, look, it's on my birthday. Happy birthday to me.
I know.
Which one?
January 13th. Huh? All right.
You're both on the 13th.
I should have known that. Okay, I have to tell you something.
If it falls on your birthday, the good thing with VAB is you do get a cake.
Hey, all right. Well, the first one is my birthday. Anybody have any issue with any of the dates? Okay. All right. Well, do we need to vote on that, or?
I don't think so. It's more of an agreement, in my opinion.
Very good. That looks good to me.
Staff will send out a notice of all these meetings, an official notice, and then she will remind you and your ECA because getting a quorum is, of course, crucial. So we will pester you and all of you about these meetings as they draw near.
What day is that? Is that a Thursday? I don't even know. Okay.
They're all on Thursday. Right?
They're all on Thursday? Okay.
Thursday.
All right. Well, any other business?
No, ma'am. I am going to quickly mention it was mentioned in the video, but this group is subject to all sunshine laws and requirements. We have a big set of sunshine laws from the Attorney General's office of 400 pages. If anybody would like to look at it or ask if you have any questions about whether you're in violation, please don't ever hesitate to call me or refer people to me who are asking you to do things. I'm happy to help.
Very good. Anything else from anybody else on the board? All right. Well, with that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Jeter.